Mobile workforces, cloud applications, and digitalization are changing every aspect of the modern enterprise. And with radical transformation come new business risks. Welcome to Hybrid Identity Protection, the premier podcast for cybersecurity pros charged with defending hybrid identity environments. Presented by Semperis, the pioneer of identity-driven cyber resilience for the hybrid enterprise. And now, here's your host, 15-time Microsoft MVP and Active Directory security expert, Sean Doobie.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the HIP Podcast. I'm Sean Doobie. This episode is about you, the identity practitioner, and what's in your future. So, anyone that's been paying attention to cybersecurity in the last few years has seen that identity and access management, IAM, has been elevated out of the weeds of general infrastructure services to become the key component, the core control plane, as they say, of the modern organization's security posture. And as important as they've become, these systems are not simple beasts. Large organizations' IAM architectures connect cloud-based HR systems with on-premises services such as Active Directory, standalone contractor identity databases, privileged identity management systems, identity lifecycle governance, cloud identity providers like Entra ID, machine-to-machine identities, PCs, IoT devices, and more. Yeah, it's complicated. I think of these systems as ever-moving rivers of users, groups, and attributes as they're created, changed, and deleted that flow through all of these components thousands of times a day. And it's these systems that are responsible for controlling access to and protecting our most critical applications and data. So yeah, it's pretty important. As Gartner puts it, IAM will deliver foundational capabilities for all of IT. And as the world inexorably moves towards identity-first security approaches, the responsibilities and requirements of the IAM leader will continue to evolve. So how might this role evolve? How will it affect you, the identity or identity security practitioner that's listening to this podcast? My guest today to talk about this is my friend Joe Kaplan. Joe is the architecture and security lead for digital identity in Accenture's global IT organization. He focuses on solving real-world problems for a large, complex business. Joe has over 30 years of professional experience in IT and technology, including a 15-year stint as a Microsoft MVP. He is the co-author of the .NET Developer's Guide to Directory Services Programming, and he's also a mean drummer for the Chicago-based metal band Arriver. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Let's start with a little background. I think pretty much everyone has heard of Accenture, but they may not be familiar with what Accenture really does as a business.
So Accenture is a really interesting place. It is a very large organization. So we have over 750,000 employees, and the business is global. So all across the world, operating in lots and lots of different countries and marketplaces. There are a whole bunch of different businesses within Accenture itself. You can think of us probably primarily as a consulting firm. We also do lots of IT outsourcing. You probably didn't know that Accenture is now the largest advertising agency in the world as well, too. We made lots and lots of acquisitions in digital over the past 10 years, and that has transformed a whole aspect of our business with a whole bunch of different users who have lots of really interesting different requirements and different ways of working from what we're used to. So the Accenture business is vast and complex and becomes ever more complex as we continue to evolve, but it is a really fascinating place to work.
Well, give us a little sense of the IAM environment you work with at Accenture.
So a few things to know. Like I said, the landscape is vast, 750,000 employees. But one of the things that's really interesting is that our organization tends to have a fairly high level of turnover. We will probably end up hiring around 200,000 people this year. Wow. And so if you can imagine, yeah. So if you can imagine the kind of HR engine that is required to make something like that happen, because we certainly didn't hire every single applicant either. And then imagine all of the automation that is required to ensure that you have all of your account management stuff working such that everyone gets an account on their first day and we can onboard everyone and get them into their stuff. So that's pretty neat. We have a giant commitment to passwordless. So within that landscape of 750,000 people, over 600,000 of them are fully passwordless today. So they don't have a password at all.
Wow.
And we're also very, very cloud oriented in our entire IT strategy. And that also kind of informs our identity landscape as well, too. So we are very heavy into a cloud identity, or IDaaS, as some people like to say. And, you know, we have one of the largest entry tenants on the planet, and it's very large, very busy, is always nipping at the heels of what Microsoft's cloud capability can do. We have, for the insiders out there, have exceeded the 5 million object limit within Entra, and now they keep having to do things behind the scenes to prop it up as it continues to grow.
That's reassuring.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, 2.6 million devices, you know, 1.2 million groups. It all starts to add up. So that's a little bit about what identity looks like. Maybe some other kind of interesting things as well, too, from an org perspective. So I'm part of the IT organization, and within Accenture, IT owns the delivery of the identity and security platform. And so this is different from the CISO organization, who does not, in our model, own delivery of identity. So CISO, our Chief Information Security Officer, is what I would refer to as my business customer. And they have a different and slightly broader scope because they need to keep all of Accenture secure, whereas I'm responsible for providing the security and identity services out to the Accenture world through IT, but it's a large and complicated business, and we have all sorts of other interesting things that people do in order to build services for clients and support all sorts of other go-to-market things. So the CISO's world is interestingly different, but they rely on us to run the core identity platform within Accenture.
And it's the security as well?
So yeah. And security is a big and complicated thing. Our organization owns, I would say, part of the security landscape, but not all, in that we own what I would call identity, application security, and data security. Within endpoint, endpoint security is owned by our endpoint operations team. So we work really closely with them, but the teams that are running the endpoint security software and a bunch of those solutions are actually with endpoint. We have a separate security organization within messaging collaboration that does stuff specific to things like Exchange and SharePoint and Teams. And then the network security organization and the cloud security organization is also separate and aligned to cloud delivery and network delivery. So we work closely with them, but we don't actually own all of their delivery. So there's lots of security work that gets done within IT. We own most of it, but not all of it.
And this is something that you've seen evolve over time, your increased involvement with security.
Absolutely. So a while ago within IT, we made a big play to essentially increase the visibility of the identity organization, expand its scope, and invest in it much more deeply and broadly than we had been previously. And we had an organization called Identity and Access Management that was one of the principal pillars within IT. And as things continued to evolve, the CIO, whom we report to, asked us to, hey, could you do more security stuff and more security stuff? We have these other things that need a home, and we trust you to deliver them. And so we evolved from the identity and access management organization to the security and identity organization. And now we've actually just been recently renamed to the security organization, even though 80% of our budget and delivery is still focused on stuff that I would consider to be core identity. So identity is still baked in, but the naming and focus is on security at this point.
So you're an object lesson in the rise of security and identity together being inexorably tied together. So
yep. How, and go ahead. Identity is at the tip of the spear for everything that we do. We have been operating in the model that identity is the control plane for a long time now, and continue to build our services around that. So it's still at the very forefront of everything that we are executing against. There are some things, though, that we would consider to be different concerns. Like, for example, security within an application itself is something that we manage and measure slightly differently than the centralized platform identity services.
So in this evolution, how has your role evolved? I mean, obviously, as you've grown and experienced in the organization, you've taken on larger and larger responsibilities. How has your role changed with the recognition of how important identity is, and what does that mean? What does that mean? What did you, you know, as we talked about before this, we started talking here, you know, what did you do this summer?
So my role has changed over time. I started off my career focused on custom application development. So I come from a developer background and was 20 odd years ago really focused on a career being what you would probably call like a back-end web app developer type of guy. I got involved in identity because I was asked to help out on a project that had some identity related components that needed a bunch of dev stuff, and have been doing identity related things ever since for a variety of reasons. At a certain point, another 15 years ago or so, I decided that I was going to go full on and just specialize in this space. And then over time, my role has evolved. I've become more focused on things that you might refer to as architecture and strategy. And I have generally gotten out of the day-to-day of trying to make all the implementation decisions and do all of the work, and focused on organizing a large coherent effort and trying to make sure that we have the right investments that are being delivered the right way and getting the right results, and articulating a strategy of where we want to go and how we're going to get there through those sets of investments. So my role these days is much more strategically focused across a broad set of things, but I also still try and keep my hand involved enough in the day-to-day delivery so that I'm also still guiding outcomes. I don't sit in an ivory tower and just read off scrolls of what we believe we should be accomplishing and then wait to see if anything happens. I do that, and then I also go and try and get the money for it and make sure that we did it right as well.
But the strategy job requires a broad understanding of everything going on in the identity industry and what it takes to position Accenture in the right direction, and then sub decisions about what technologies to look more deeply into and what should get funded and what shouldn't get funded, right?
Yep. So I have the benefit of working as part of my role within a strategy organization and with a number of other people who are tasked with strategy. One of the things that we try to do is create a coherent IT strategy across the entire landscape. Like, for example, one of the reasons that we are so heavily invested in cloud from an identity and security delivery perspective is that Accenture as a whole, from an IT perspective, made a decision that we were going all in on cloud as an IT-wide play. So for example, we don't really have data centers anymore like we used to. And we have been working on collapsing out the corporate network and focusing on moving to more and more native PaaS services for all of our custom work, in addition to really aggressively adopting SaaS as one of our core delivery models. So within that framework, I try to work very closely with the other security practitioners to have a coherent strategy and then guide them in the direction that I want them to go in, but also be guided by the things that they're trying to accomplish.
I've always thought it's remarkable an organization the size of Accenture being as cloud aggressive as you are, and the amount of effort it must take. So in terms of career, in terms of where things are going and all that, you know, I've seen both Gartner and Forbes has mentioned this as well, that by 2027, almost half of identity and access management leaders will be promoted into executive roles due to the focus of on identity breaches and the regulations around them. And anyone that is not under a rock in identity today, or certainly listens to this podcast, knows about the commonplace identity breaches that happen every day. One of the things that it happens historically is businesses making silo decisions without collaborating with IT. And how does that fit in the Accenture environment? You know, like the classic example is some business unit wants to buy an application, and they buy it and they turn it on because it's easy to do, and no one's thought of SSO until it's fully in production.
So Accenture is, especially from the security perspective, an organization of policies and standards with a lot of teeth and enforcement mechanisms in place in order to try to drive those outcomes. Like, for example, if you buy a SaaS service, there is a procurement process that forces you to go through a number of security checks. One of the things that you're required to do is the vendor must support SSO, and then you also have to implement it. It's not optional. There's a whole bunch of other checks and balances that get implemented, but because we bake that into our procurement processes, along with a whole bunch of other security evaluation that we do, generally speaking, that ends up not being a problem for us. We're pretty effective at getting people to do the right thing and trying to make sure that the other business functions who want to do stuff work really closely. Generally speaking, within IT, IT is organized largely to support what we would call the other corporate functions. So like there's a whole group of people within IT whose job it is to support the HR business customer and make sure that the needs of HR are being met with getting all the systems that they need. And same with finance, and same with legal, and same with like facilities and services, or what we would call like our offices and that kind of thing. So there are a number of things that we do to try and make sure that those parts of our business are all supported and have really good alignment. We have good conversations with our customers. So, but we also have a bunch of rules in place to try and make sure that, especially within security, people aren't breaking the rules. One of the areas that's really complicated and challenging for us is that we do lots of acquisitions. So we don't generally do big mergers, but we buy lots of what I would call smaller companies, and then we have to acquire their assets and technologies. And frequently, that is a complicated process to try and figure out how we bring their technology into the Accenture world. Normally, what happens is that all the back office stuff just gets replaced with Accenture things. But if we buy a company that has specific IP that has an IT component, and almost everything does these days, trying to figure out how we add those particular IT assets into our model and continue to deliver against them is really complicated. And a lot of that ends up also, if it ends up not being a service that's supported by IT, but ends up being owned by the business, ends up being a complexity area for the CISO to also continue to manage and govern. So that's probably one of our most difficult challenges, is to manage all the little outcroppings of IT that end up getting preserved within our go-to-market business.
Right, because you want to preserve the culture, you want to preserve the intellectual property of those businesses without simply stamping them out of existence.
Exactly. I mean, that is 100% it. If we bought a company, but then we also said you can't have your data center anymore, here are your new servers, but none of it worked, that's not we just destroyed the thing that we just purchased.
Right.
So it's a very interesting challenge trying to figure out how to do that. Lots of people come into us with technologies that are really different from the stuff that we do, and frequently a lot less mature. We're really aggressive on staying up on new technologies, especially with our cloud focus. So we do tend to acquire more legacy environments through acquisition than we would have had otherwise, and present a bunch of interesting challenges for us.
Yeah, the complexity for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Gartner and Forbes and others have floated the idea of something called the, I say it out loud, CIDO, CIDO, mm-hmm. CIDO, a Chief Identity Officer, to represent identity security at the executive level. And in the Forbes article, they describe, the article is called 10 Reasons Why the Modern Enterprise Needs a Chief Identity Officer.
Mm-hmm.
Forbes says that it's the extreme complexity of large organizations' IAM ecosystems, just what we've been talking about, how they're an integral part of every, practically every aspect of the modern organization, and their high profile in cybersecurity requires mm-hmm. high level leadership. What do you think? Should IAM leadership be elevated to the C-suite level? Can it adequately support the organization where it is today?
So my overall take on this is that I believe that identity does need to be elevated into senior positions. As to whether or not it actually makes sense to be at the C-suite itself probably depends a lot on the organization and their dynamics. Like, for example, within Accenture, I believe that we're already implementing a whole bunch of the things that are referenced within the Gartner article in terms of budget ownership and direction and product focus, and also having someone at the executive level in charge of our large and complicated organization. But we also wouldn't call that person a C-suite level person either. It's just not the way that we're organized or a way that it makes sense. So everything else about it from the budgeting perspective makes sense. But in other organizations, I can see how that would work. I will say that one of the things that I do in my role is help tell Accenture's story to our clients, because one of the things that our consulting business in the security space does is sells identity solutions to our clients. And occasionally our clients are interested to know some of the things that we're doing. In all of my travels, I have yet to meet a CIDO. What I do mostly still talk to these days are CISOs, direct reports of CISOs. Within financial services, I do encounter a lot of people at the VP level who are now in charge of their identity organizations, which tends to indicate someone who's at a fairly senior executive level. So it's hard to tell, but I do believe that identity will continue to increase in importance with the within the organization, and the ability to plan and manage budgets, and the suggestion to move into the product model and the DevOps model are all very good ideas. As to whether or not the actual C-suite title lands on top of that, I think is still a TBD.
I imagine that many people listening to our conversations are on the IAM or identity security career path. What areas do you think that up and coming identity professionals should gain experience in to be well positioned for these higher levels of involvement, and where you think what organizations are going to need in the future?
So one of my managers from years ago once told me that you don't really have any idea what's going on until you know where the money's coming from and where the money's going. And he therefore then insisted that all of his managers under him manage their own budgets and work with our finance people to ensure that we're managing a budget against a specific variance target. And ever since then, I have been more involved in the financial aspect of how IT works. And a thing that I would recommend to people is to know where the money's coming from, try to find a way to get involved in how that money is getting prioritized, because that's how the big investments will happen and continue to happen, and you will get the right things to work. It's one thing to complain to people and say, hey, we need this and we need that. But if you don't know where the money is coming from within your organization, or how to prioritize big investments against an ever competed for corporate budget, you're never going to get anywhere. So for anyone who's interested in moving up, figuring out how to get involved in the money is, I think, a really critical step in a career.
Joe, thanks for your time. Very much appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you in a few months.
Thanks, Sean. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Thanks for joining us on the Hybrid Identity Protection Podcast with Sean Duby. Be sure to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. Visit hipconf.com, that's HIPCONF.com, to learn about upcoming events, view expert presentations, and take part in the conversation.